I wouldn't come to help Billy.
Well, he's here too.
Nothing to talk about.
Okay, I've got 1:35. We'll reconvene this budget workshop at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. We'll pick up with the first item or the first person on the agenda, which would be the county attorney. Mr. Bell, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, Judge. So I handed out this morning, Judge, the budget request dated 6/26/25, which is the version that me and you, Mr. Wood, went over when we visited last week, I guess. Seems like it's longer ago than that. I think it was just last week. The only changes, as we discussed, the changes to the state contribution towards my salary due to the amendment to the statute dealing with district judges' salaries. The state sends one half of a district judge's salary to the county to cover a portion of my salary every year, and that amount is increasing due to the increase in the district judges' salaries that they approved. Within the SB 22, increases for my employees are listed there in the middle of the change. There are no tax dollar changes to any of my budget. It's all state money and SB 22 funds. The just like Fund 74, exactly the same, which we've discussed some before, but probably worthy of discussing again. If anything ever comes to a screeching halt on SB 22 and they pull all that, we'll obviously have probably change a couple of things that we do, but all of those other payroll issues will be able to be resolved through that fund again, so there will be no mass hit to the county to Fund 10.
Good.
The still have not filled the position for the executive assistant for compliance, and lots of reasons. The I still think that as we work through the RCP program and work through, you know, what we're going to do about building codes and regulations and floodplain and just all of that stuff, I think that, you know, I thought we would be there by this by now. But with the all the stuff that happened last May and all the FEMA stuff going on, Road and Bridge, all the things they've been dealing with, you know, they're still dealing with paperwork from all that. They're still tracking and building and doing, and you know, so we just haven't had an opportunity really to build something out there, for lack of a better term, that position would fit into to help manage. And FEMA called this last, well, it may have been yesterday. FEMA called yesterday. FEMA called Thursday. Get an updated point of contact for our floodplain administrator. And but they had Cody Wallace down. They just had the wrong phone number. And so I told her what we were doing, and we had contracted with the engineering firm. Sorry, Judge, I'm getting off base. But anyway, so as we move forward into that, I think that, you know, move that RCP programs, amend our subdivision regulations, get some more permanent stuff on there. So I left it in there. I don't know. If we do it, it won't cost us nothing. It'll all be SB 22 money. And if we don't do it, it'll be fine.
So I tell you probably did not expense all of your SB 22.
No, sir.
Yeah. No, it's tough for you.
Not even close.
Because didn't you have a vehicle this go around or last go? That was the last one.
No. Well, it wasn't this. That was a pre-trial. Yes, that was out of the pre-trial. We did transfer out of the pre-trial diversion fund to cover that.
Okay.
But that it was the vehicle that the environmental officer is driving.
Yes.
And we did purchase that out of those funds. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the one I was, yeah.
Yes, sir. There's no reason for there being vehicle issues this go around.
Nothing else you can buy this year?
Well, see, we're limited.
I know. Very
That's the reason we have to buy a vehicle out of those other funds, because we can't buy vehicles in SB22 funds. Can't buy computers, can't buy desks, can't buy
pretty much 50% of that place, isn't it?
If it's just salaries and benefits and so, and I don't need any more employees. I don't, you know, we okay. Kind of got our little system down.
Yes.
Yes. You buy them. And the environmental officer has been, I've been working with Ms. Roebuck a good bit at the county judge's office and catching up on enforcement on our own side civil safety stuff that, you know, after Pitts left, we just really didn't have a guy with a gun and a badge to go do what needed to be done on the ground. And so now that's, we're issuing the citations. If they don't respond to the citations, then we'll get the summonses, and we're going to personally serve them those summonses before we get a warrant for their arrest, making sure that they actually, you know, a person is handed a document. That person is the one that's held responsible business and not tended to. And I think we're making some good progress. I got a new list from Ms. Roebuck the other day of the ones that kind of new batch that are behind. And we're making a little progress. And I'm sure y'all, they've been there's press releases on some of their stuff. They've been working on some of their illegal dumping cases and some of their stuff. So,
you got one. Solved it pretty quick.
Yeah.
He enjoyed his time.
Be simple.
Yep.
Like the same thing I told Margaret yesterday. We appreciate you holding the line.
Yeah, all stuff we need is not in our office. We still desperately need mental health resources in our area.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard.
Yeah.
I talked to Phillips, you know, mental officer, sheriff's officer, everything. Pretty much go back. Talked to them today already, so that's what they said about.
Yeah,
pretty much every day. I talked to them pretty much every day this weekend, from Thursday through, I think I talked to them Sunday, then we Saturday. One day this weekend I didn't help, but I talked to them pretty much every day. Add on the resources. And but all our numbers are only for steady, you know, part of the criminal case numbers, you can see the case numbers, protective order numbers, it's all so steady. It's just steady. About two CPS cases, this one. It's one of them, daddy killed grandma in Brownwood. But mama was the kid lived here, and they've been staying up there, so we got the removal for the kid. One of them, David Dersfield, continuous family violence and drugs out the wazoo. Dad pulled a gun, hit mom's head and broke kids. Hopefully, can't kind of struck up camel's back. So they're good removals. They're not. So you hear all the stuff about CPS,
right?
Drug control. No. They got plenty of opportunities to make good cases. It's all pretty steady, you know, and really hasn't gone up or down. It's just kind of steady. That's all I got, Judge.
First and foremost, Mr. Bell, I appreciate your time the other day with myself and Mr. Wood. That gave us good clarity on where you were with your budget. And again, I will echo the sentiments of Commissioner Weddle that for you to hold fast with your overall budget request coming out of Fund 10 and your ability to manage and utilize grant funds to offset those it's kudos to you for doing that. And there's no doubt in my mind that the taxpayers today, as well as in the coming fiscal year, are going to get more services and better services from your office from no increased cost than we were 2 years ago. And maybe not everyone sees it, but your investment in hiring a compliance investigator is paying dividends for the county, not just in revenues through citations, but the intent, I believe, is just the enforcement of those state required regulations. And Ms. Roebuck, I will speak on her behalf. She thanks you for that as well.
They get along pretty good. There's one thing about that we talked about the other day. And I was actually on the phone with the sheriff's department folks, but I think there may be a benefit long term. Seeing if whether it's EDOC or whether it's some other provider can build us a safe system. Because so they, when I was working on the other day, so I, you know, of course they don't talk to each other and they don't, you know, none of them talk to each other. But if we had the same system and we were on the same information system, we could share information. So when we had a permit come in, we assigned, you know, we put the number in there for the deed whenever we were doing enforcement stuff and we needed to look, and we looked at that permit in our system, we could click on that deed number, you know, and it would go to the deed in the county clerk's office, you know, in OPR, in other official public records. And when we populated those citations and those different things, we would all be operating in the same system. And, you know, I know from talking to Ms. Roebuck and ones before her that, you know, SAFE really hasn't done a lot to update their system in a number of years. Not that EDOC has recently, but, you know, as we move forward the next year or two, I think that's something we ought to think about. You know, even if it cost us $10,000 or $15,000, I mean, I really think it would be money well spent. You know, depending on what we decide to do long term with EDOC and such, I just. It would make all of our lives easier. So, wanted to explain that. I was thinking about it the other day. When I was visiting with somebody about cases and trying to get back and forth from one place to another. Which I can do because I've been here a long time and I work things hit at, but anyway, still, you got to go back from one system to another and find everything and pull it up. Kind of like CAD, you can see the deed number there on the CAD, but you can't click on that deed number and go nowhere. The deed isn't there, it's just got the instrument numbers. You got to log on to OPR and type in the deed number to go to it, but at least it's there. I mean, it is helpful that it's there on the CAD, it's very helpful, but. You know, on our side, if we were all in the same system and we had those permits in there, and those permits, the permit to operate is filed in the deed records, so it's cross-referenced. So there's a way to build all that where we could be more efficient, more accurate.
So I really don't even know. I mean, I know the JPs and there's people that use the eDoc. And once the auditor's office moves away from that for their financial software, the sheriff's office has proposed that eForce. Have you ever looked at that at all?
No, should be.
Okay. Supposedly that'll eliminate their eDoc stuff. Who else would be a heavy user of eDoc?
County clerk's office, district clerk's office, district attorney's office, county attorney's office, all four JP's offices.
Right.
Let's make it clear that when we talk about eDoc, eDoc is a company.
Yes.
Okay. Currently, the auditor's office is using eDoc as financial software. Then there is case management
right.
software, which is distinctly different. They're separate entities.
Different suites.
eDoc. So when I don't want to, confuse anyone. When we say eDoc, we're not necessarily talking about, one set of software. We're talking about a company that has individual suites of software that are applicable to different departments. What Mr. Belt is proposing is, I think, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I believe what you're proposing is that we are at a point, Coryell County, as far as size and volume of activity, that we really need to start looking towards integrated software. Where historically we've purchased something for here or contracted for something for here and then contracted for something for here and contracted for something here is we start looking at more of a holistic approach. I believe we started to go down that route back in 2019 as we phased out LGS. And we had some proposals that the numbers were, shall I say, astronomical. Is that an appropriate adjective? I don't want to mislead anyone.
That's a good one. It's federal, but they're all in synonyms.
But the setup for one of the proposals was more than we were spending for all of the software programs combined within the county. And that did not include the annual maintenance fee. That was just to get it set up. Now, that particular company is considered the quote unquote Cadillac. And I don't think we are shopping for a Cadillac, but I do think it warrants that we at least investigate companies that may be willing to pick some of the lower hanging fruit. That's going to be a challenge. To Mr. Belt's comment, if we don't start looking, we're never going to find. But yes.
No, that's, yeah.
Yeah, and, like I just said, now there's certain parts of eDoc that communicate with each other really well, like my office and the DA's office. I can take a case, but I can copy a case out of their file management software and put it in mine. Get everything they've got. They can do the same thing with me. And share it. So like district clerks, I can go to, on my eDoc, I can go to the district clerk's eDoc and look stuff up. And I can't export or import it, but I can get to it and I can look at it. I can print it if I want to. I can download it and save it on my computer. That kind of thing. I just can't put it in my eDoc like I can still in the DA's office. So the county clerk's office, because they've been on it forever, it's kind of different. I have credentials to log on to their system. So I can log on to the county clerk's system. I've been able to do that since Barbara Simpson was here. I have my own username and login for the county clerk's office, and I can go to OPRs, official public records, where all the deed records and stuff are, the commissioner's court section, the civil and the criminal. And look stuff up on there and do the same thing. Undownload stuff, save it, print it, whatever I need to do. I can't export it in my case management software, but I can save it as a PDF and import that PDF into my software if I need it for my package, whatever I'm working on. And And so that's like the other day with working on a case, you know, I've got two or three things open, and then, you know, if I need something for septic permits or road and bridge driveway permits or any other kind of permits or anything else, I have to go to those individual offices to get that stuff. I cannot access it. Now, the road and bridge department, we did create what we call an R drive, which is a shared drive that I, you know, that I don't know who all has access to it, but so some of their stuff I now access through. That's how we share stuff, so we don't have to just send it and just put it on the R drive, and everybody has access to it, all the subdivision stuff. We've come a long, long, long way, no doubt about it. It's just there's a lot of opportunity to improve our efficiencies now that we know what's out there and know what we could do if we could just cross that bridge. Certainly some room for.
I know in the business world, you know, Oracle is the big, you know, name for all these different, you know, they have a manufacturing suite, they have a financials, and you know, it all talks together. Who's the Cadillac in the government? That
Tyler
is it Tyler
Technologies is one
Technologies?
of them,
Yeah.
and I think they're probably one of the biggest ones, if I was guessing.
Yeah.
But I haven't shopped for any of them in a long time. I don't. There may be some new players out there, some new things that I haven't looked in forever. Because last time I looked, I felt like, you know, like Jeff said, I felt like Fred Sanford. It's a big one. I can't do that. There's no way I'm gonna go ask them for that much money for that. You guys have to be kidding me.
It Tyler Technologies, also referred to as Odyssey, is the premier software vendor in the state of Texas. Just some very rough numbers that I'm going off the top of my head. About 4 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that, Travis County contract with them. They already had Tyler Technologies. They contracted with them to upgrade and create a new software suite specifically for Travis County. And that update was in excess of $10 million. What I've heard through some of my continuing education classes that's being reported on is that Tyler Technologies has purchased some of the vendors that were operating in the state of Texas. And in effect, they are squeezing out some of the smaller players. Now, it's not, I don't know what their business model and strategy is. It's just what I've been told. I believe it to be true. And I believe it's going to be more and more difficult for us to get into that realm, any of the smaller counties, not just us, Hamilton, Limestone, Falls County, pick any of them. It's going to be more and more difficult for us to get into a total, word I'm looking for, can't think of, but anyway, a total
Integrated.
package integrated is yes, a total integrated package of software where the DA and the CA have fluid access between their departments. I believe Mr. Belt will, you know, attest to the fact that there are several felony cases that have misdemeanor crimes associated with them. And so there's got to be communication between those two offices as to how they adjudicate those particular issues. There are civil cases that are handled within the county court at law that maybe has something tied to it out of a district court. And then it's the district clerk's office interacting with the county clerk's office. And all of that is just the judicial realm. But then extending that a little bit forward to, or you know, out to the sheriff's department, because as the harvester, if you will, of these individuals that are accused, they have a responsibility for the initial input of a lot of data. And if that data is not correct, then other agencies are having to go back and fix and correct that. So they need to be integrated. It's just, I think, and Mr. Belt has even said it, you know, right now we're operating off of a bridge, for lack of a better term, between Coyle County and the Coppers Cove Police Department, which has saved us thousands of miles a year from driving back and forth hard drives just to upload data. But we were able to get that bridge built so that as they input data on criminal cases in Coppers Cove, that translates and Mr. Belt's software will pick that up, and they don't have to recreate a lot of that manpower intensive operation. So it was a little bit wordy, didn't mean to be, but I think it would be, it would warrant that we begin the exploratory phase, but I don't think that that's something that we're in a position to execute this year, because I believe when you start looking at some of the price tags on this, it's something that needs to be thought out and planned, and to be truly budgeted, not like it's just a good idea. It because it is going to be, it's going to be pretty significant.
They got a 30-year mortgage.
You're up to this rate, looking like right now, I'm working with the city of Gatesville and with we already get some data from the sheriff's department from the jail, but not from the SO side of reported directly. And I'm just moving forward and getting everything straightened out on that thing. Those are pretty small ticket items. Like the bridge we built across the Coppers Cove cost $5,000, especially in college. So, you know, I'm just going to continue to move forward doing the little stuff we've been and help streamline things, because I agree it's a long term project. On the other.
But we don't get there if we don't take the first step.
No.
That would be. All right. So, specifically with Mr. Belt's proposed budget request. Any comments, questions, issues from the Commissioner's Court?
Yeah. For me.
Okay. I will highlight, and I don't know that you're already on the email string. I did forward it to that there, and this is relating to his salary and reimbursements from the state. There was a significant bill, SB something, judges and prosecutor salaries were increased significantly, and
it will 293, Judge.
293. I was trying to pull that off my little cheat sheet here, but so when you see that increase from Mr. Belt, that's not something that he said, oh hey, I want another, you know, X number of dollars. That is a Senate bill. I believe we have a statutory responsibility to fulfill that. And he has not requested anything above and beyond what was identified in the bill.
Yeah, 293, it's about 25% of the budget.
There are going to be some other departmental increases that you'll see that they didn't ask for it. State said this is what you'll do. And they are not reimbursing us for all of those expenditures. But again, that's out, a little bit, sorry, I didn't, that, it's a little bit outside of Mr. Bell, but we'll address that later. All right, so one last time, anything for Mr. Bell?
Nothing.
Mr. Bell, thank you again. Appreciate it.
Mr. Bell.
Mr. Vaden, how are you today? Man, say it ain't so. Say it's not so.
I'm afraid it is. Hey, I'm not here to tell you nothing new, but I'm just here to remind you of what I've been going to remind you of.
Take a note.
You already got one?
Yeah, I pretty good.
Well, how do you know?
Here's one to you.
We have it back.
Yeah,
you're way free.
All of you got one?
I don't have one.
Okay.
Thank you.
How about you?
I'd love to have one.
I know you would.
I don't know how to use a copier.
Well, I'm just,
I know. I'll print them all for you guys next time.
I remember what it said. It's City Manager Brad on each wheel with me. And I'm going to talk to you about the thing that I just put down on there, just to remind you. I think the fire reporting system, I know that you've been furnishing for quite a few years now. That's about going to be approximately $45,000 next year. I increased it a little bit because they say they're going to increase it. I just had to guess at it, what they thought they said. And then the cent and a half for 100. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if we already got a big figure up there.
We got our certified roll due today.
I did it.
Or I missed it. I received it today. So
you received
it. I haven't missed
it. Okay. And then the first responder, I don't know how much y'all put in there. I believe you only put 10,000 in there. And then,
yes, in your EMS road. Yes.
It's got a separate from everything. The only thing I want to bring your attention to is $45,000. So it had always been paid out of some other fund, I assume. I'm not sure where. But last year, y'all took it out of that cent and a half. So it lowered what we all got. We'd like to see that $45,000 come off of some other something else, and our cent and a half be strictly for fire protection. You know, I know $45,000 probably is not much, but golly, you got about 250 volunteers out here doing work for nothing. So every time you cut them a little bit, they pay attention, and believe me, they knew last year that they had that come off the top. And that was one of the things that I was told to make sure that I at least bring it to your attention that maybe you won't take it off the top this year. The cent and a half is, I don't know what that would be, but as soon as I know what cent and a half is, I can give it to you what each department would get. But that's basically all I have. I'll make it short. Brad's got something for you. But
so the fire reporting system, is that a issue? Is this like a subscription charge every year?
A prescription?
A subscription.
Yeah, it's a contract. I mean, yeah. It's a complete
software maintenance.
Yeah, okay. This is a complete system. And we had to change this year. So we have always used a one called emergency reporting. And it was relatively, not only was it really, really good, it was cheap. And so this other company called ESO, they were already in business. They, if you're in business, if you're taking work stuff away from them, they buy you out. They're out of Austin, Texas. So they bought out emergency reporting and claimed they were going to leave it alone. For 1 year, they did leave it alone. And then they canceled it. And so it ends in September of this year. And so First Due, which what we picked, Temple Fire and Killeen Fire, they all went with that. And of course, Commerce Cove's in this little group here. They're going to go with it. It's a very good system. It's also not user friendly, but the setup. I think once you get it, just putting in fire reports is basic because NIFR's National Fire Incident Reporting System is gone away. At the end of the year, it's gone, and they went to something called NERIS, and I don't know. It's National Emergency Reporting Incident System or something like that. And they kind of streamlined all the questions that they ask you or all the forms you have to fill out. They streamlined that a little bit. And so it's not quite, they say it won't be as complicated and it will get better information in than what we were putting in NIFRS. And so everybody had to rewrite. And we're scheduled to change over to NIRIS August the 1st.
Yeah.
So we have to be out of emergency reporting by the end of August, so in September 1. But we've all chose to change over in first of August and try to get started. I'll have at least 30 days left on. We're just about through. It's been a very long, drawn out, complicated affair. They don't have a good training program, even though they're probably one of the top ones in the nation. That you log on whatever day they tell you to, you log on and you talk to, I talked to Kyle about one thing, you know, how to become a millionaire, and he tells me how to do that. And then the next day I talked to Keith over here. He tells me how to drill a post hole or something like that. And so on and so forth. So these guys that talk to you or the women that talk to you, they're very knowledgeable about their little part. And they only have you for an hour and they go at breakneck speed. And when you get through, you okay, we're through. Oh, they have one guy, he's out in Longview, Texas. And he was a Longview fireman and he was an inspector for them or a fire marshal. And so and I told Josh, which is my contact yesterday, that best instructor we ever had. And he said, you know, you're not the first person to tell me that because he understands what we're wanting out here. And he's able to relay that to you. So anyway, that's my request. I'm just asking you really that one thing. I thought I'd take that off the top there. We'll go on. I'll let Brad talk to you a little bit.
Chief, what all goes in that system? I know your incidents, your fires and everything, but what all else goes in that system?
Well, so first of all, it has a place in there for your trucks. So the maintenance on your trucks, it keeps up with that. It keeps up with all the inventory on the truck. It keeps up, one of the biggest things it keeps up with is training, which if you want to be certified. And not everybody has certification program, but I'm going to say 50% of all the departments have a certification program. And it tracks all that for you. So you send that into the state. We send ours in every 30 days. I'm not sure what everybody else does, but okay.
That's what
it's just a full bookkeeping type system.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Anybody else?
Yeah, I've got a okay. Couple questions.
Just get close, Roger.
No, that's all right. I'm gonna try to talk loud. Okay. This past year, we've had a few, a few issues with reporting. And I'm talking about from the fire departments to the county under our local agreements. First off, Creole City is spot on. I mean, monthly.
Spot on?
They are spot on. I don't know that they're accurate,
okay.
But I get monthly reports from Monty Sanders. I mean, like clockwork. Coppers Cove, get them like clockwork from their department. I just got and this is about 8 months worth of reports from Turnersville at once. You can't say that I've ever seen one from Flat unless you have sent it as part of a
package.
Package.
They do that. But somewhere back in there, maybe when I was sick for a little while, I got behind. But usually they're all up to date with me. They send them to me religiously every month. If they don't, I religiously call them and tell them to send it.
Okay.
And usually every 30 days, I make a package together and I send it to all of y'all.
Okay.
I guess I just, after I was sick, I kind of got behind. I forgot to do it. But I'm fixing to put one together probably this afternoon or tomorrow. We have a fire chief's meeting Thursday night. So
because that at least helps me when y'all propose the breakdown. It helps me have a better understanding of who's responding to what.
Okay.
Is
gotcha. That's probably my fault because they send them in to me. I keep a spreadsheet of everybody, and then I take that spreadsheet and turn it into the funding.
All right, so then that's gonna segue into number two, all right, which is they send them to you. And I understand there might not be a you.
You might be right.
In the very near future. Now, I have not confirmed that with Peggy.
Well, Peggy will tell you yes. So.
But I'm pretty confident Peggy's going to tell me yes, that there's not going to be a you. So as we're segueing, you know, and this is a dramatic change. I don't know if all of you understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you were elected the fire chief of the Gatesville Volunteer Fire Department in 1972, 71 or 72?
No, probably 74 or 5.
Because
I got in 1970, so.
Because I thought you followed my dad.
I did.
Whatever,
somewhere back in there.
So I say that from the standpoint of there is no replacing Billy Vaden.
Oh, yeah.
No, we can find someone for your position, but you don't replace a Billy Vaden. There is no one out there that has the experience and the knowledge of this community and this county. And I'm not saying that to pat you on the back. I'm just saying that this kind of leads into some other things. So if there, when Peggy says it's done, it's going to be done, and this court needs to understand that there is a valuable asset and resource that can't be replaced, and the city of Gatesville has given a bit of a proposal on how we kind of morph, change. And they are proposing a paid fire chief position. And I'm not going to steal all your thunder, but they are proposing a paid fire chief position and asking that the county contribute funding towards that. Okay, now that's on above and beyond the penny and a half that we have set aside, as well as the EMS allocations, and as well, you know, on top of the reporting under the NERIS.
Excuse me, Judge. I want to make sure that if you understood and they will understand that proposed deal is that person will supposedly be a fire marshal too. He will serve multiple things, and we're minus a fire marshal in the county right now, you know. So he would be doing the county some good.
The only fire marshal position right now is out of Copper's Cove, and any other fire incident that needs some type of investigation, we turn to the state. And they're the ones that investigate that for us. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay.
We call the state fire.
One out there at Leon Junction that we're still waiting to hear from on. Anyway, so there's several moving pieces here in you know, how we consider this, but a paid position for Gatesville, There's also a request to share in the cost of the purchase of a new fire engine, which is about $550,000.
Each.
Yeah, yes. Each. Yes, our portion, the county's portion would be, you know, $550,000 of that. And so with that, Mr. Hunt, I probably ought to turn it over to you and let you kind of summarize the city's position on that as we're kind of melding and morphing these two together, meshing these two together.
Well, thank you. So Billy has been very humble about the fact that he is planning on retiring, and I appreciate, I know the county in general does, all your service, Billy, so thank you for that. I finally got to embarrass you in front of a group this time, so... You're right, Judge. Trying to replace a Billy Bade is not possible. So some of the considerations that are out there right now is what the judge said in terms of somehow having a fire chief who is a fire marshal work for, under one proposal would be the city working for me, and the county would pay part of the salary in half. Let me just backtrack that and tell you all where the city is now with how fire service works. Just as a reminder, right now we pay Billy a contract fee every year of $50,000. I upped it from $45,000 because I thought he needed a pay raise right at the end. And that's just a contract labor for us at this point. So what the city would propose would be that the new fire chief slash marshal would probably make $100,000 to $110,000, would be a market comparable for that kind of position. Now, this is going to be a unicorn. All right, this person needs to be a fire chief or a fire chief worthy in terms of experience and accreditation, and also be a fire marshal. They need to have experience, not just working at Plano Fire Department for a full-time fire. You know, they need to know about volunteers, which has been a steep learning curve for me. I think our current model for the fire department is one we want to keep, because the city, for instance, could not tomorrow say we're going to have a fire department of full-time people like Cove does. You would need to build that up over a decade. You know, we couldn't all of a sudden find $15 more million to get everything outfitted and $2 to $5 million a year for O&M costs for a fire department. My predecessor, the city manager before me, had been restricting city employees from responding to fire calls on duty, and I lifted that restriction. So the city also contributes sometimes hourly pay for volunteers that are on fire calls. See Miguel or Bobby or somebody out on a call, they're, and it's 8 to 5, they're going to not clock out to go answer a fire call. They're going to just, that's part of their day. That is to our benefit to keep it that way. So we're not proposing changing any of that. And I will be attending the volunteers fire department's meeting on the 15th to kind of tell them the same, as I'm not trying to say the Imperial commander is coming in to take your fire department over, because that's I'm sure one of the rumors, right? And that's not what we want to do. So one thing Billy and I talked about, and the judge and I talked about, was that kind of model. But that would be up to, again, the volunteer fire department, right? So they would need to give up something that they've always had, which is their ability to vote in their chief. Was it every year, Billy?
Yes, sir.
Every single year, right? And I will tell them on the 15th that if that's the model they want to keep and not relinquish that control, then that's what's going to happen, because I'm not going to somehow wrest that control from them. Not going to propose we together try to do that either. But they will need to be careful, right? Because they're going to need to have someone that can do what Billy does, which is not just know everything the fire department needs to do and where everything is and how everything works, but be able to come to the Gatesville City Council and the Corio County Commissioner's Court and make the case for the funding every year. And they're in a unique position where they get to elect their own leader, but we say what you get, us together, right? So there's a lot to talk about and get through before that time. Budget, of course, run right up on us in the meantime. So it is accurate to say that we would possibly want to come to the court in your budget cycle here soon and request up to $50,000 in a salary copay, either on a contract level or as contributing to the city. We would the city's proposal would be we would pay half the salary and all the benefits for this position. And that would make them a city employee. I count Billy in my organizational chart
as one of my direct reports, but he just does it because he wants to. He could not report to me tomorrow, and I'm not saying, Billy, get your butt to a meeting. I mean, you know, he comes because he wants to, and that's what that new person needs to be. They want to be able to be a part of both entities and get along not only with that, but how all the other volunteer departments report as well. And so that's where the state of this situation is. Some other notes I have is they currently have iPads in a lot of their trucks. We have had a discussion recently about switching from Verizon as a service provider to AT&T. AT&T's got a concept called FirstNet. Verizon's got their own version of it where you get priority cell signal in emergencies. It works pretty well. We used it a little bit as a test run during the eclipse last year. When we figured cell signals would be higher, it works right now. I believe FirstNet's what's being used in Kerr County for that disaster down there. That's becoming even bigger every day. And then, of course, Judge talked about the fire engine. So engine 3 is the one that Billy's needing to replace. Its current cost, if he was to order it tomorrow, would be about $1.1 million. The city does have set aside $550,000 for that right now in this budget. This is an unapproved budget, obviously, right? It's my proposal, but we do have that accounted for. There's also a rescue truck, Rescue One, that currently could be bought at about $100,000. Brand new is about $300,000. We do not have that $50,000 to $150,000 of our half set aside right now for that. And then our other contributions are on maintenance and operations. I'm going to propose $52,810. And under capital outlay, another $56,700 or 15% less, depending on my general fund balance sheet between revenue and expenditure. But so that's where the city's at. And I just wanted to bring that to the court's attention, that that's where we're at. I appreciate the judge meeting with me a couple weeks ago or last week. I lost track of time.
It was one of those days.
Yeah, one of those days. And so all this is just tentative because I'm just the city manager, not the council, not the mayor. This is what I will be proposing, some version of what I just said. But with that, I think I'll stop and just say, does the council or the commission have, that's tonight is the council, but does the commission have any questions about any of that right now?
No, sir, I don't have. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about the replacing the engine. So 15 years ago, we bought engine 2 and, they questioned me why that truck cost, and this one we're proposing now is identical to it. That one cost $500,000. And the court at that time said, well, why do you want to buy such an expensive truck? Because they didn't usually cost that much. They usually cost around $300,000 or something. I said, well, we're buying a truck every 7 years because we're wearing them out, commercial chassis. And this is a custom cab. And it will last 15 years, and it just turned 15 years old. So that's still hold true today. Now you can go buy a non-custom cab for about $650,000, something like that, but you're going to replace it. So you pay a little bit more up front, but you get something that's worthwhile to replace it. And so it's been 15 years since we've been in here and requested any funds to replace a fire truck. And I believe, I'm just going to say this because somebody told me this. I haven't looked it up.
And you're retired, so you didn't
go. Yeah, I can say what I want. But I believe Costco is, y'all paid them, bought two in this little short period of time for them. And I had $300,000 for them. So I may be wrong. And I'm going to tell you this, old Gary will be here next year. He wants another one. So, And if we don't, or I ordered this one. So 2 years ago, we wanted to buy this truck and we thought we had a grant for it. It wouldn't cost anybody, just maybe $100,000 piece. But the grant fell through, we didn't quite qualify. And this truck cost right at $800,000. And so it's went up $250,000 to $300,000, but more like $250,000. In 2 years. And the guy tells me it's going to go up again the first year. It's going to go up again the first year. And so, you know, if it's going to go up $100,000 every year, it's just going to keep going up. So if we buy it this year, or we're not going to get it, because it's going to take 3 years to build it and get it here. But if we sign our name on a piece of paper and say, yes, we've got it funded We can take it. It'll be 3 years forth. We actually have to write a check for it.
Okay, great.
We need to lock it in right now.
So that opens up a big, I guess, a money discussion. What do you have to put up front?
You put your name on. You just tell them you want.
So then when do we have to actually pay for it? Would that be 3 years from now?
Yeah, I think it's when it comes due. So you should have notice.
Oh, anywhere from 28 months to 36 months.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we...
But meantime, the finance guys, they're have this money squirreled away in the mattress over here, and I got to keep accounting for it every year for these years while we're waiting.
Right.
And that's where we're at with it, right? So, yeah. But it's real tempting as a city manager to come and say, well, here's $550, but, let's spend a quarter of this right now and then put it back by then. Yeah. And then something will happen and it won't be there. And that's, so there's a commitment up front.
It takes 42, doesn't it?
That's tough.
Yeah.
We're fighting the old fire truck. What will happen to it? Will it sell it? Will it go down to somebody else? No, it will stay in there. It'll stay at the fleet as a backup. And I'm talking about engine two. Now, engine three, which this new one would be called engine three, we would probably try. I'll say I won't be here to do it, but I would say if I was still here, we would take that truck and the old rescue truck and try to sell them and buy a new rescue truck, not a new rescue truck, but replace them as a rescue truck or a small mini pump or something like that. We have all our brush trucks replaced, but we've been, instead of buying a whole brush truck, we just buy a cab and chassis and take the bed off and redo it and put it on there, and we save. So we just put a new brush truck in service, and we probably save $75,000 by doing it ourselves. So,
but y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but the city shop does the maintenance on the trucks as well, and I don't know if the county pitches in on a line item
for
cost on that maintenance, but it's our diesel mechanic that's figured out most of your equipment now.
Yeah, since we got Derek there, the city mechanic, he's very good. He does most of our maintenance. Only time, sometimes we have some diesel problems, we have to take it to somewhere else to have it down, but he can do most of everything. So it's an expensive day, ain't it? Every day is expensive.
Yeah, it is. All
right. Me and Peggy just got back from Colorado. We took two grandsons with us. And so got back. I pulled my credit card up. I just put everything on one credit card. So I know exactly what we spent. I thought, God almighty, what did we do?
That's a lot of ice cream.
That's a lot of ice cream. Right, it's a lot of ice cream. I just don't remember doing all that, but I guess you do, it won't take long.
As we put this out to the public, you just got to realize the model we have now is a bargain. And to reiterate your point, for us to go full-fledged, and if Gatesville went full-fledged,
right,
exactly. That leaves the county kind of
it does.
out there. So we really need to make sure that we tell the public a true story of what it costs.
They can come over to the fire station and just look at what Billy's put together in 50 years for a volunteer fire department and how big that bay is and how many things are in it. It amazed me when I got here.
Yeah.
And I was going over to visit him for the first time and saw the thing and said, well, what's all this building for? And it's a vehicle in every bay almost. So that's a testament as well.
He just wanted an upgraded kitchen from the old fire department. That he was tired of trying to have Thanksgiving meals.
You don't even drink coffee, and now Seven Brews is going to be right in their front yard.
Yeah. You mentioned didn't qualify for a grant. When was the last time that the Gatesville Volunteer Fire Department had a rural volunteer fire department assistant grant from Texas A&M Forest Service?
Oh, it ain't been too long ago. I mean, of course, they don't buy. Who was this from?
It was another ARPA.
It was a federal grant.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember. But now, Texas Forest Service, we get, all of us get grants from them. The last one we had, very big, was probably about 5 years ago. We bought the new water tender.
Yeah.
About 300,000, something like that. Y'all got one maybe a year ahead of us.
Yeah.
And, but we haven't had anything else. We've got some bunker gear, et cetera, et cetera. So, but last year we got a FEMA grant. And with that, we was able to buy all new bunker gear. So it was golly, excuse me, $125,000 or $30,000. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think we had to pay 10% or 5% of that.
And the SICCOG Siri grant just paid for two new consoles at the PSAP at the police department.
Yep.
That was $220,000 total, and that was
100%. Yeah. And I don't know if you've read the latest Texas Forest Service bulletin. So when you apply for a Forest Service grant, you know, your name goes down here, excuse me, and you work your way up to here, and you work your way up in points. And some people kind of slide in the middle, different things. But they were millions and millions of dollars behind, and the legislature just gave them, and I don't know how many millions it was, to completely wipe it clean. So everybody that's been non-funded all these years. So I think like for our tender, we waited 10 years to get it funded. And that's what nearly everybody does. So it's going to wipe a bunch of that clean. That would not only be trucks, it's going to be bunker gear, training aid, whatever you put in for, you know. But they say they're going to be able to catch up this year with it. So it's going to be a good deal. We put in for a kind of a brush truck several years ago, but we finally had to buy one ourselves. So, but they maybe that will come up and get funded. I don't know. We'll see. They may have lost it. It's a rat house down there when you go to the funding field. And the old boy's over all that. Thank goodness. He was a Waco farmer. I worked with him as a Waco farmer. And he had enough sense to quit, get a college education, go off and do something bigger. He's over all of that for the Texas Forest Service. His boss is down in Bryan College Station. Exceptionally good young man. Excellent.
Are all of our volunteer fire departments, are they operating under a 501 nonprofit status? Are there any of them that are operating?
Jonesboro has one. E-Man has one. We have one.
Burnsville has one too, don't they?
No, Burnsville don't have one. I don't think anybody else is, and I hate to say that, but I just don't think anybody else is. I think there's just three of us have a 501c. They all should have, because you legally, if you want to count your donations off the IRS, you need to be going to a 501c. And we had one, and it kind of expired because none of us had enough sense to know all the stuff you have to do every year. And Hannah Foundation gave us a pretty good donation. That was for our 501c, and we started digging, and it was expired. So that's how we renewed ours. It's been a long time, but so we finally got ours renewed. Dora Jean could be done ours for us, but I don't think anybody else has it, and I might be wrong. I know some of them were flat, was trying to do theirs, but I don't think they ever got it done. So when you try to do it yourself, it's pretty hard. You need to hire somebody that knows what they're doing.
All right, and I say that because it's going to lead into my next piece of things. For at least as long as I've been in office, I'm sure it goes back several years before that, we've had agreements between the county and the fire departments on reporting requirements and kind of auditing. I mean, when I say auditing, that's auditing the fire equipment, not the financials of things. But looking back over the past, talking about from 2022 forward, we have continued to contribute the 1.5 cents But beginning in 2022, we had an additional $300,000 that we provided from ARP funds. And in 23, we had an additional $100,000 that we provided in ARP funds. In 24, there was an additional, let me get my numbers here. 24, we had an additional $100,000 that we did in just miscellaneous. It wasn't designated for any specific item, but we had that programmed in there. And then for 25, under miscellaneous, we've got, you know, $40,000. Now that's in addition to the EMS runs that we've got in there. So the county has, number one, I'll echo, this is it's a bargain. I mean, there's no price tag you can pay, put on free effort. I mean, that's a huge bargain. But I think we're getting at the point of when we're looking at how do we go forward, I think there is a level of fiscal responsibility that we need to take a look at as we're allocating these funds. And I'm not trying to pick on any particular department, but there's some departments I see doing lots of fundraisers. I see some volunteer departments that don't do any fundraisers. I'm just saying, I don't know, they might be doing them, I just don't see them. And so with that disparity of who is actively procuring outside funding, I think there needs to be a level of analysis on what are those funds coming into these departments to ensure that when the formula is put in and we're putting numbers to a formula that the fire chiefs had adopted, that we can at least say to our constituents that, yes, this is equitable. I'm not going to say it's fair because I don't believe that, but at least it's equitable in what the fire departments are doing. And again, that kind of goes to the reporting to see how many runs that they're doing versus, what we're divvying out versus then, to Mr. Hunt's point, I'm not questioning that there's a need to replace a 15-year-old fire truck. But what's the outlay of the various departments and how are they utilizing these county funds versus we just write another check? That's so to that end, the reason I asked about the 501 status is I know that there's some financial reporting that goes along with that. But for one, I would like to see a financial statement of some type for all of these departments so that we have some visibility on what their fiscal health looks like. Because I'm not sure it warrants that we write a check when they're sitting on a pretty healthy bank account, or that check maybe needs to be redistributed to some that are operating on a finer budget. If that makes sense.
I'm just going to tell you the deal here about dividing up the money. So when we divided up the last, I'm going to say 3 years, but it could be fourth year, because we make a lot of runs, way more, and they're as much as everybody else in the county put together. And a lot of them complained, well, we probably didn't need you at every one of them, and they're 100% correct on that. But that's the way the 911 system works, gets sent. So after we get through, I look at what we were given, and in the last 3 years, I pulled $100,000 off of what we would receive and gave back to all the other departments. And they know that too. I make damn sure I tell them that. But I put Gatesville puts back $100,000 of their funds. And we would still receive a lot more than everybody else, even at that. But we don't take all the money that we're really allocated legally by the formula, because it would just cut everybody else down for nothing. And so you get back to that fundraising, everybody just about, not everybody, but have some kind of fundraising. We don't. Because here's my fundraiser right over here sitting beside me. I have a city budget also. And so that's my fundraising. And they fund everything that, so the county money we get mostly goes to operate fires in the county and buy equipment for the county. That's about all it's at. So the city budget pays for our insurance, utilities, all that extra stuff. But I'm sure everybody would be glad to give you a financial report, Judge, if that's what you want.
If we can just get a snapshot of where they are, because if we're going to consider, and I try to look for ways of what can we do. If we're ordering a truck today, but, we're really not paying for it for 2 years from now, but we can, make some considerations within the funding over the next couple of, financial cycles, fiscal years for the county. It very well could be that we can afford $550,000. But we can't afford $550,000 for a truck for 9 different departments. We just can't do that. To Mr. Hunt's point, we'd almost be better off just standing up our own emergency service district at that point, if that's really what we were, asked to contribute.
And I do think in maybe not our 10 years, because I don't want to do this job for about maybe 9 more years, but that'd be a good run. Some point in the future, as Corio grows and Gatesville grows, and y'all have probably seen the development map I put out now, and you see them going up around town. I mean, eventually there will be where that volunteer model can't keep working due to the COVID. Billy struggles now at night trying to get volunteers out. If it's not an exciting thing, it's just a regular old granny fell down on the stairs kind of thing or whatever it is, it's hard to get people out of bed. But there will eventually be a turning point, like Mr. Belt was saying about the software, where you get so much call volume that you're going to have a full-time fire department go on the Cove model, or more similar to the Cove model. And then the ESD here in this part of Coriel outside the city, or maybe all of Coriel at that point goes to that system. I was in Johnson County before here, and that's what they were doing, because those cities started growing so much, they started popping up fire departments. But, I'm in year one of being city manager now, year two almost. But, that long-term plan is something we will want to talk about at one of these meetings, one of these budget meetings coming up. Maybe in the next 2 to 4 years, we start thinking about the next 2 to 4 after that. It'll be discussion for sure. But the message for the volunteers is, I'm not trying to take their volunteer thing away anytime soon. Anytime soon means in my next 5 years, they keep me here that long. That's not what I'm trying to do.
No, I think the one piece of the volunteer fire departments that's an intangible is the community involvement. And I'm not trying to say anything negative about any other department, but Leviathan knows how to fry some fish. I'm telling you, they do. And it's the community that comes together to do that. Corio City and Osage, when they're, doing their pancake supper, you could rob 2/3 of the houses out there and get away with it, because that's where the community goes to support. And I think there is an element there of the community involvement attachment that is an intangible that keeps many of our smaller communities thriving. Um, And I'm never going to tell you I'm the guy smart enough to figure out where is that cut line, where is that transition point of when we go from volunteer to maybe a quasi-paid volunteer to then it's paid.
Monty Sanders texted me. They are also 501c3. So Coryell City is 501c3 also.
They are?
Yeah, they are.
Are they the only other ones you look them up?
No, Monty texted me. He must be, he's listening in. He texted me, so we're 501c3. All right, I'll pass it along.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate y'all's time letting me give you the city view on GFVD. FVD, whatever y'all are. Gatesville Fire is a big part of Gatesville and Coryell County. So I think maybe yearly I come in at this time and just tell where the city's at on our half too, because maybe that hasn't always been relayed as much. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. I got something here from the This is something.
Mr. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your patience.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
So with no.
GPS gets hit. It might be sent out. Gotta get back to work.
Since you've been so gracious, we will go right into your proposed budget. As I said to Mr. Belt, I appreciate your time last week in meeting with us. It looked like we had some between what you'd proposed initially, my conversations with you, with Mr. Wood, some of our insight on some of the judicial responsibilities that we have coming up for the upcoming year. I think we all agreed upon a pretty healthy increase over what you had initially proposed.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to turn it over to you and let you run down the highlights.
Gotcha. Yeah, so again, we did this, met with Judge Miller and Mr. Wood last week. We did increase a few line items. We're trending up and getting cases pushed to the courts. We went up a little bit on just the normal court-appointed lines from last year, just kind of going off where we're at this year. So we upped those from last year about $20,000 each.
Can I interrupt for just 1 second? Can I make a copy of that? Because we don't have
it. Yeah, sure.
If you don't mind, easier to follow along.
And I don't know if you can read my scratch.
I bet we figured it out. Thank you, sir.
I've got the best handwriting.
Sorry, he used it earlier. He had his dog in the.
Make sure they get
it. All right, so as Mr. Ament is moving forward with this, I do want to say he's not proposed any increases with salary. So just from kind of a general baseline, his overall budget would increase by about $233,000. And we'll get into the who's it's and what's it's of what that really boils down to. That's going from basically 990 overall to 1.223 million. So, Mr. Amen, if you'll continue, please.
Yeah, so again, just looking at the numbers of where we are at, you know, this year, of course, we're pushing more cases, getting more cases through, you know, more cases are coming in. So we upped both the court-appointed attorneys lines, 20,000 each. I think just where we're at this year, I think that'll be a good amount for next year moving forward. The county court at law, we're pretty good there. I think last year we had 75,000. We just added another 5,000 to that. Again, just because more cases are coming in. And same thing with expert witnesses, investigators. Another thing with that, and I'll kind of bring the contingencies line into this, is adding a lot more money into that and the contingencies line item because of capital murder cases that we have coming up. There's one for sure now, maybe two in the near future. So that is going to be the regional public defender's office out of Lubbock that has to come down and take care of all that. The cases, you know, they're probably going to last 2 to 3 years, you know, just that's how long these murder cases last. And those are way more expensive, you know, than just a normal everyday case that we have over here. So, the contingencies line item, I originally had it at, 90,000, which it was, last year we had it at 35,000. But after talking with, Judge Miller, Mr. Wood, he talked with Judge Farrell, in length about it. Judge Farrell thought that 150,000 would be a good number for that. Again, with these things, you don't necessarily know exactly how much they're going to cost. But I think in our discussions, you know, having it in there and not needing it is better than not having it in there and needing it. So that's why we up that so much. It's because of these capital murder cases that we have coming up. And, but, you know, besides that, just the other line items is kind of where we're trending this year and how many cases, you know, we're pushing compared to other years. So the big change is that contingencies line item. And that is, you know, like I said, for those capital murder cases that we're having to get the regional public defender's office down here for to take care of. So. I don't really think there was, again, the salaries, there was no changes there. Went up in the visiting judges and reporters from 18 to 20. And another thing I discussed with Judge Miller is the other day is the visiting judges now that we have the new courtroom for 40th, got 52nd. That would allow us, you know, to have the visiting judges come without do whatever case they need to do that day, and also allow, you know, 440 to 52nd to continue their docket. So we're not pushing back cases, we're not holding off on cases, we're still able to do the normal docket as well as those special visiting judges cases. So you know, we may be using them a little more often than we have in the past for those instances. So,
I think you've done a really good job of summarizing what we talked about and what you've submitted. So I appreciate that. As a note, one of the capital murder trials, we are already seeing expenditures come out of the pretrial services and indigent defense, which we did not anticipate as part of the FY25 budget. So if you look at your expenditure report, you'll see miscellaneous is already at, or I'm sorry, contingencies is already at, based off of the July 3rd expenditure report, is at 145%. The number's not going to go down. I mean, it's just, it's not going to. Out of appeals from both the 52nd and the 440th, we're over 100%. Interpreters are over 100%. We're fortunate that there are some other line item expenditures that are able to keep that particular department about on track. I mean, we're very, very close, but ultimately we've got to give our citizens that are accused the right to a speedy and fair trial. We've got to support those processes, and there's a cost to it. And as we had discussed intermittently with the project of building the new annex, with maintaining the courtroom over in the old annex, we should see a higher throughput of judicial cases within the coming fiscal year.
And I know other there are other counties that they actually charge for PR bonds. You know, it's not a lot. I was looking at Travis County. It's, if it's a bond under $1,500 or so, it's a $20 processing fee. If it's under $1,500, it's a $40 processing fee. I think other counties, you know, they do it where if somebody you have on a personal bond, he goes through the process, gets convicted on that charge, you know, they add that fee to their court cost or some similar to that. So, you know, that's something, you know, we can look into. I know we haven't done it before here, since, as far as I know, since we've had this department, but, you know, that's something we can look into possibly, you know, to bring in some more money to the department, you know, to kind of offset some of these costs. Again, I haven't looked into it yet, you know, so I don't know what the process to that is, but you know, that is something we can look at to try and bring a little bit more revenue in for us if you know, we need to do that. So
I believe Bell County does that as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, most of the bigger counties do it. They all have kind of little different ways to do it. But I think that's something that we could do. It's just, you know, figuring out which way we want to do it and how we want to do it. I know that could possibly, you know, cause some other departments to have to, you know, do some more work adding that to the judgments or the, you know, the bill of cost and stuff like that. So we'd have to kind of, you know, talk with them if we did decide that, you know, work everything out. But again, that's just you know, I think right now we have 395 people on bond, 528 cases. So, you know, just even $20 or $40 a pop, you know, having that many coming through and going, you know, would be some extra, quite a bit of extra income. So.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how that figured out.
Yeah, and I'll start looking into it. You know, I can get with Bell County, and I got some contacts over there to see kind of how they do that. If it's a, you know, before, as you're getting the bond type thing, or after you complete the bond, whatnot, but I'll start looking into that, seeing you know, if that's something we can do to add.
And you got that for the case, and even at $10,
oh, yeah,
that's a big chunk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, questions, comments for Mr. Eamon?
Appreciate you coming in.
Yes, sir.
They'll be quick killing each other.
Yeah, I know, right? Business. At least not in this county.
I thought JP's 1 and 2 might have shown up this afternoon. Y'all want to take a brief recess? Give them just a little bit of time?
Send a message, say they're going on done. We won't have to give me any time on Thursday. I'll leave it on.
Be done.
If they won't come, I'll be more happy to stay and listen to them. Not just send a message, please send.
The free one they sent was, I think, just $1,000 on travel. So,
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks,
sir.
Bye. Be right there. Give them, we talk to them.
Yeah.
I don't see anything up there on Bell County, but I know Travis and Dallas, Dallas is pretty aggressive on there.
Oh, that feed?
The bonds, yeah.
Is it like that, she got that tag from that lady that always lets you know about the courthouse, what will be off that guy.
Telling you something?
It was off, man.
How bad?
Terrible.
Well, I don't
know
what took
it
so long, but
I don't either. No, but I'm going to reset that thing, Bash.
Well,
I'm
electrician
that was off.
I thought it was in more than
7,000. Jim said he didn't know if we needed to come. Didn't know. He said, I didn't know we needed to come. So, yeah, but.
Don't need to. It's $1,000.
Yeah, I think that's all they had for was $1,000 on private.
Yep.
That's JP3 and 4.
That would be JP3 and 4.
But we're talking about 1 and 2.
We are talking about 1 and 2.
One was yesterday.
Constable Precinct 1.
Oh, it was
yesterday.
Okay.
I've sent a text to Judge Gwynn asking if he and or Judge Price were planning on being here today. I believe they might be wanting something.
I could be mistaken.
It rained this afternoon, John?
No. I do not want no more rain.
I think it's 30% this afternoon and 40 warm. And then it drops back to 10.
We ain't getting no rain today. I'm not allowing it. Well, I'm okay. I'm in Permita. We don't get that term.
There's mayor in Permita. He said,
just now, get your pickup stuff, huh?
Yeah. It's pretty soft in my house.
You need to pour your concrete driveway back here to the pantry.
Back to Burles. But keep on trying to get what Justin did farming, but he won't do it.
I got two rigs. I need to take over there to find his bow and then get him going. He can get anything running.
Yeah.
They got him over there. That's cool. We're about 18 years old. I just need to work through the carburetors, but I like to thank them to James. He cheap.
I put some stuff go Glenn Evans over here. He's pretty cheap.
Yeah. James real cheap.
Yeah.
Sounds like a six pack kind of guy. No, not James. So. But he don't drink. But yeah, James is easy to go.
Yeah, James said he got that COVID and he can't stand the beer.
Yeah.
He had COVID.
You should have seen the time we was trying to put that belt on that unit out there. Been a hood.
Oh, yeah.
Posting kept trying to show him how. And James goes, he's posting up there with all these tools, and James goes, spun that sucker, and the belt went right on. He's like, James left him up there, took the ladder down, forgot he was up there. I said, James, I'm going to pay you double for that. Oh, it was good. Good, good, good.
Can we hear back for any one of the JPs? Are they coming?
I haven't heard anything back. I don't mind reaching out to them and see if what their availability is for tomorrow. But I know Ms. Roebuck was in contact with Tanya yesterday afternoon. You know what that signal is? If you're jumping in the Army, that is the indicator for 30 seconds. But this may come as a shock to you, but when you're 1 minute out from jumping, you get up. And then when you're 30 seconds out, they give you a. And then the jump master gets out of the door. Stand by. First jumper gets up in the door, and he's waiting. He or she is just waiting. Yeah. Green light comes on. Bam. Knees breeze. I've got 3:15. I don't want to take any more of y'all's time. I will reach out to them and see what their availability might be for tomorrow. So we'll give each of you an opportunity. Any closing remarks from today's workshop? Okay, very good. We are in recess until tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Oh. Yeah, I'm on.